You know, I mean, I was doing a TV interview once, and there was a lady who was about to do an interview on a different issue, and she didn't believe that when I said, well, there is no such thing as a chemical imbalance in the brain causing depression, and antidepressants can't, you know, correct a chemical imbalance. They're more likely to produce chemical dysfunction. And she said, no, I have a chemical imbalance. I have depression. It's caused by a chemical imbalance. And I said, well, what test did the medical doctor, what did the psychiatrist do? She said, none. And I'm like, well, you need to be better informed. You can't just accept this information. And it's awful because the person is really wants help, but they're not getting help. They're getting betrayal.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
This company lost $1.5 billion within 6 hours of a BuzzFeed news report. And what company am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the largest psychiatric hospital chain in the nation called Universal Health Services, or UHS. And I have with me today Jan Eastgate, and we're going to be discussing this. She's president of CCHR International, which stands for Citizens Commission on Human Rights. And she and CCHR have been working on exposing the fraud. What they say in BuzzFeed, according to their investigation, they're saying there's fraud and abuse at Universal Health Services. And CCHR has been working on this for over 18 months. They filed over 2,800 complaints with state and federal agencies, the FBI, healthcare fraud control units, and state and federal legislators. And finally, it's getting the attention it deserves after that BuzzFeed news article. Well, Jan, you and CCHR have been working tirelessly on this issue. And I know y'all do a lot of hard work on a lot of different areas, but you've really worked hard for over 18 months, as I've said earlier. What's going on at Universal Health Services?
Well, the point is that the complaints that we've been filing have been over the last 18 months. But in fact, their behavioral health sector, their psychiatric hospitals, have been under our radar screen since 2008. And there were newspaper exposés for the Chicago Tribune, for example, did a major expose on UHS's behavioral health hospitals in the state. And we started getting former employees, whistleblowers, actually contacting CCHR when we were doing media on these chains of psychiatric hospitals, as I said, way back in 2008, 2009.
Okay, is that what brought your attention to this?
Whistleblowers, the former patients that were reporting allegations of abuse, of fraud, of terrible abuse of the patients in the facilities. And largely it started in Florida for us. And that's where we initially started forwarding complaints and got investigations locally. And it just kept going. And then in around 2013, the Federal Department of Justice were investigating UHS's behavioral health chains as well. And they started subpoenaing records, billing records. And by 2015, there were 21 of their psychiatric hospitals were under federal investigation, criminal and civil investigation for potential billing fraud and patient abuse.
Wow.
And that's now escalated to 26, or 1 in 10 of their psychiatric hospitals are now under federal investigation. And their headquarters, which are in Pennsylvania, were added to that investigation last year.
Wow. Well, why has it taken so long to expose this?
I think when you're looking at Department of Justice investigation, that's a lot of billing records that they have to go through. And we've worked on healthcare fraud investigations earlier. In fact, that's what kind of raised the alarm bell with us about UHS was an earlier investigation into other for-profit psychiatric hospitals in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. And that led to two chains of hospitals shutting down because there was so much fraud and abuse.
Wow.
So we saw, but that actually took quite a few years for the investigations to come to some sort of resolution. And I think the parallel between that and what was happening at UHS was what really raised alarm bells for us. And also the number of patients and even parents that were contacting us because their child was being held in one of these institutions. We had to have attorneys help them get the child out of the hospital and prevent them from being drugged. And so, you know, this is where our attention has been.
Yeah, this, I mean, this sounds, like something that, and as we get into it more, I think people will realize it more. This sounds like something you would see in a movie or something. I mean, people, it's hard to believe, for people to believe, it's kind of hard for me to believe that this still happens, that you can be basically kidnapped by a hospital, and a psychiatric hospital, and forced to go under treatments and this and that against your will. This is just...
You're exactly right, but I think, I mean, I've worked with CCHR, I've worked with this for, you know, 36 years, so... there's nothing I haven't seen. There's nothing I haven't documented.
Right.
And it is a system that is open to abuse because it's so subjective in the way that you diagnose a patient.
Right. There's really no science to it, is it?
No. And there's not, it's not like medical treatment. And people do suffer serious problems in their life, and we would never dispute that, and they do need care. But these for profits, you have... patients going into the facilities, they're upset. And in the case of the BuzzFeed investigation, there were suicide assessments that were being done.
For free? Weren't they doing them for free? Weren't they doing them for free?
Yeah, they do them for free.
Yeah.
And then they get locked. They go in and the door gets locked.
Yeah, and they can't get out.
And then they can't get out.
They can't get out till the money runs out, right?
Exactly. And so you have, because of the subjectivity of psychiatric diagnosis, it's very easy for psychiatrists to make a diagnosis and then to exhaust the insurance, just keep changing the diagnosis until the insurance runs out.
Okay.
And then once the insurance runs out, suddenly they're cured or they're capable of being released. And what's so appalling is that this, we went through all this with it in the 1990s. Was it National Medical Enterprises and another chain of facilities called Charter Hospitals? And back then, 60 Minutes did an expose on Charter Hospitals. And they had somebody inside the facility acting as a nurse. And there were staff showing this person how they were changing the medical records to make the diagnosis and the behavior look worse than what it was.
Wow.
And that led to, you know, the hospitals going bankrupt because there was so much fraud and abuse exposed. And then here we are in 2015, 2016, and the same thing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there should have been, the alarm bell should have been raised a long time ago on UHS, and action should have been taken. So you question, you know, what is their relationship? You know, is there a conflict of interest somewhere that's preventing these investigations coming to a fruition?
Right. Yeah. Now, BuzzFeed did their own investigation. They did an investigation for the past year, at least. And y'all have been investigating it for the last 18 months. Did y'all find basically the same things?
Yes, that's what it was. It was fantastic to see someone independently investigating what we'd already found years ago, actually, but reinforced over the last 18 months. And to see their this incredible story, 24 pages it was, that really detailed, you know, investigations and talking to whistleblowers, like we talked to whistleblowers. They spoke to over 175, they did over 175 interviews, I think, with former staff and others, in fact, more than that, I think, but, you know, and even executives that ran UHS, they were able to speak to them as well. So it was a very in-depth investigation, but reading through it, it just supported everything that we had been finding and that we'd been reporting and filing in complaints to, as you said, over 2,800 authorities and legislators over the past 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you and CCHR has done that. You have done a lot of work through the years on fighting against abuses in psychiatry and exposing problems in psychiatry and all that. Now, I read that article, the BuzzFeed article, which I'm sure is what you're referring to. Let's go over some of the things that talks about. What are some of these specific abuses, just so people can get an idea specifically as to what's going on? Because when I read that, I'm like, oh my, I mean, this is just atrocious. But, you know, what are some examples of some of the abuses? And is it other things going on too?
Yes, because if you look at BuzzFeed, they're talking about current and former employees from at least 10 UHS hospitals in 9 states said that they were always under pressure to fill the beds. And sometimes that meant exaggerating people's symptoms or twisting the words that they said, sometimes to say that they were suicidal when they weren't, and hold them until their insurance payments ran out. You know, some of the allegations by former patients there were that they were drugged when they were actually in the institutions, which is something that we've found. There were troubling reports about the quality of the care that was actually given, harm to patients, as well as potential healthcare fraud. And, you know, it substantiates what we've found, and it really is shocking because one of the investigations we've done in the past is psychotropic drug prescriptions. Senator Grassley, for example, who's just come out and spoken out about UHS, which we can talk about later, but previously he'd also looked at top prescribers of antipsychotics or psychotropic drugs and the conflicts of interest between those psychiatrists and pharmaceutical companies. And we just did a random check and found, you know, of psychiatrists affiliated and working with UHS. And there were 25 psychiatrists who are the top state prescribers of psychiatric drugs.
Wow.
We're talking about, you know,
a lot of money.
Antipsychotics, antidepressants, a lot of money. And they're billing Medicare. So and that's just for the Medicare statistics. And so you look at, you know, what fraud might be going on there, people at risk because of the amount of drugs that are being prescribed to them. These drugs have very serious side effects, and very often patients aren't fully informed of what those side effects are. Certainly we've found, you know, parents that have been upset with their child being given these drugs, and we've had to help them get out of the hospital and out of the clutches of psychiatrists affiliated with the UHS facility. You know, there's been other things where, you know, staff have been accused of aggravated child abuse. There was a 13-year-old's arm that was broken at one Florida facility. There was use of restraints where they're restraining children and adults, and in the course of that restraint, the person was, you know, damaged. There's been whole facilities that have been shut down because of the abuse that's been covered in some of these facilities. And, you know, a 15-year-old who was slammed into a cement wall and then pinned down for 20 minutes by one staff, that staff member was found guilty of child abuse. I mean, these aren't just isolated reports. This, to us, is systemic abuse, and it should be a public warning to people about going into the facility and seeking help.
Yeah, and I want to read a little something that you have on the CCHR.org's website. It's the introductory, it's the video that just plays when you first go on there, which I suggest people go and take a look at. But you have some statistics that I just want to go over briefly because y'all are really experts in this field. And I just thought these are pretty shocking. You say in the video, it says psychiatrists commit more healthcare fraud than anyone else. You have that at 40%. The video does. Psychiatrists involuntarily incarcerates the most citizens. And psychiatric patients receive 1 million shock treatments every year, killing 2 per day. And it also states that 4 out of 10 women are raped in psychiatric wards. And you say the video says who's the most likely to hook kids on harmful drugs? And it says psychiatry. They give 20 million kids addictive drugs every day. So those are just some of the statistics that you have on your website on one of your videos, and you have more videos on the site too. That is very, very informative because y'all are just you know, experts. Like I said, experts in the field of seeing the, you know, abuses, the fraud, and the problems with psychiatry. I wanted to ask, I wanted to say too, I also read in that BuzzFeed article where they were understaffed, and that can be a major, major problem. And they indicated that they wanted to cut back on staff, which would increase the profits. And I'm sure that's still yet to be proven, but that's a pretty serious charge, you know. And I used to, you know, work in a hospital myself, not a psychiatric hospital, but just a regular hospital. And, you know, if you do not have enough people working, that puts patients in very serious situations sometimes. It can be very, very dangerous for patients because too many mistakes, you have a chance of more mistakes being made and just, you know, just not enough care. I wanted to ask, how many hospitals are owned by Universal Health Services in the country?
There's about 211, definitely over 200. They're behavioural hospitals and psychiatric hospitals. They also have substance abuse facilities. And, you know, I just want to take up that point about the staffing because, you know, 30% of their, they get a, like a 30% profit, which is quite high.
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah. And our concern is particularly when you've got people who are vulnerable and they go in for help, they're locked in there and they can't get out, which makes you even more dirty. They're prescribed drugs that can make feel suicidal. You know, I mean, in one case, there's the group therapy session that the mental health technician describes in the BuzzFeed News is that, you know, he just basically put a film into the DVD machine and they watched a film, or he took them for longer smoke break. So you're going to have people who are going to be disturbed by the environment and the conditions under which they're in these facilities and that they're also being drugged. Now, if you have drugs that can make you feel suicidal and you originate something like that, there's supposed to be a 15-minute watch. So the staff are supposed to be doing 15-minute check. They're supposed to record that information into the medical records and also attend to everything else that's going on in the ward. And I just don't know how they can do that, which is what the whistleblowers coming to us were saying. It's like, you know, there may not even be enough cameras in the facility, and so somebody is like hanging themselves. Like, it's a huge expose in Texas of a place called Timberlawn, and there had been government inspections about the staffing and about not having things in a ward that would be easy for the person to be able to access and try and hang themselves.
Right.
And yet, with, you know, shortly after the inspection, a patient hung herself, you know, using a cord around a doorknob. And they're not being monitored. And so, you know, it's a whole system. And it's like when you look at the way UHS responds to it, which they have, you know, in writing to us, we also had one of their attorneys tell us to take one of our articles off our website because they didn't like it. And but their view is that this is not systemic, that this is what happens in the system everywhere, and it's kind of business as usual.
Yeah, well, if this goes to court, and it looks like it very well may, we'll see how much business as usual it really is.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutloud.com.
How do you know which hospitals are owned by UHS and those who aren't? Because in the article, it seemed to indicate they were kindly secretive as the hospitals they own. They don't just advertise that. If you're a, potential patient and someone that really needs help, then, you know, you would be, a person would be leery about going into one of these hospitals. And of course, what you're saying, maybe leery about going into any of them, but how would you know which hospitals are owned by UHS? I mean, over 200 hospitals, that's a lot. And are they mostly in the South? Or all
no,
over.
They're all over. I don't know the exact number of states, but you know, barely there's a point where it's not even just UHS. There were certain things where, you know, when we were investigating these for-profit psychiatric hospitals in the 90s, nearly 80% of them were shut down because of the amount of abuse and of fraud.
Wow.
Now,
80? That's a lot.
Escalated because of the mental health parity laws that came in where you get equal coverage for mental health issues as you do for medical, so that there's no discrimination, but no one looks at the fact that the subjectivity of the diagnosis, the fact that there's no cures for anybody, and psychiatrists admit to that. So you can keep people treated indefinitely. You have insurance dollars being bought, and you know, you've got patients going into these facilities that have just escalated since the mental health parity law and the Affordable Care Act. And I'm not even disputing whether that's good, bad or the other, but just from the dollars being available to companies, and analysts have reported that the mental health system subsequently became a huge investment area for the for-profit area.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a massive increase, and it's not just UHS. UHS is one of the chains. We have three other major psychiatric chains that we have under investigation right now.
Wow. Is there any psychiatric hospitals that are safe to go to? I mean, that don't lock you in. And that's something I want to ask, too, is what's the reason behind locking the door when you walk into a hospital like that?
Well, you know, I think UHS actually covers that. I think they respond to that in the BuzzFeed news, which I take with a grain of salt, because it's like public relations, it's marketing. And they're saying it's like that it's for the patient's protection. But again, you get down to this. You can't walk into a medical hospital and be locked in and not be allowed out. You want no discrimination. You want parity in mental health insurance. But there's not parity in the way a mental health patient is treated. Their rights can be taken away from them. Their liberty can be taken away from them. Their insurance can be milked till there's nothing left. They can be thrown out on the street. Now they're drugged. Now they could be damaged from the treatment that they've had. And it's just the whole place needs an overhaul. Our position has always been that a lot of people, they have problems in life. Kids can have educational problems and they're acting out because they don't understand what they're learning or not learning, more to the point. You've got kids that are eating the wrong food. You've got nutritional problems. You've got can even be any sort of issue could be happening in a child or a patient's life, and it could be undiagnosed medical treatments. And that's one of the medical conditions. It's one of the things we did in California many years ago was they found that 37% of people admitted to California state psychiatric hospitals had an underlying undiagnosed medical condition.
Right.
Manifested as a psychiatric disorder, but wasn't.
Right.
So they're actually treated for things that they didn't even have, and what didn't get treated were the underlying physical problems. So for us, you know, there should be facilities where people can go, but they get a thorough physical examination first as a priority.
Right.
And
then
really rule out that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could also have just, you know, like with children especially, or even adults, you just have problems at home that could be causing these behavioral and, so-called psychiatric problems and this and that. So I totally agree. I think that it would be fantastic and is very needed to have a comprehensive approach to health, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever, because it's so, everything is so tied in together. And, you know, if you have a system where you can thoroughly, just a system that you go through where you thoroughly check out the person and try to get down to the root cause. And that's a problem, and people have heard me say this before, that's a problem, a big problem I have with psychiatry, and I have it with traditional medicine in general. A lot of times they don't try to get to the root cause of the problem. And it's like you said, you know, a certain percentage of these cases, it's due to a physical problem. And so, you know, you're just band-aiding, and it's just a big money thing is what it ends up being, but you're not really helping the patient. And a lot of times they're getting worse. And that, to me, is a crime within itself when you're not really trying to help the patient. So I was wondering, I wanted to ask, is there any safe psychiatric hospitals that a person could go to? Because I know there'd be some people out there wondering about this.
Yes, this is the second time you asked me that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
but it's because I am, you know, I don't believe psychiatric hospitals are helpful. That's my personal view from working in this area for 36 years. I have been to state hospitals, private hospitals. I did a major expose in Australia of a private hospital that killed 48 patients with a treatment that should have been banned, wasn't even used in America, but was banned eventually because of our work in Australia. But the underlying problem is psychiatric hospital, the premise upon which the person is being put in there is wrong.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think we should
have medical hospitals, and people should go to medical hospitals and get medical conditions treated. And if they need to talk to somebody, they can talk to somebody. They don't need a psychiatrist to evaluate that your disorder is because you hate your mother, or your disorder is because you're bipolar, or your disorder is because, you know, you've got one of 374 mental disorders, including caffeine addiction, that are in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's awful that everything gets down to a label, that life has got down to a psychiatric label, that if you have a problem in life, it's bipolar. And I am not disputing that people have serious problems. It doesn't open the door for them having a solution other than quite often just being put on a drug.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you on all of that, because I just think psychiatry is, for the most part, and it's just my opinion, you know, we're not giving medical advice or anything, but I personally think also that psychiatry is a waste of time and money. But for the people out there that do go to psychiatrists and that believe in it and all, is it, and I wanted to ask this question, is it mainly if you go up to a psychiatric hospital and ask for help or try to take one of these free, like, suicidal assessments that you could run into problems? Or is it dangerous actually to go to a psychiatrist? Could he have you sign papers that you don't really read through and then, you know, take you to, you know, admit you to a hospital without, you know, against your will? I mean, could they come in and just, is that a danger going to see a psychiatrist?
Psychiatry in and of itself is dangerous. Psychiatry is a human rights abuse. Our co-founder was a psychiatrist, and he said it doesn't mean psychiatrists commit abuse. Psychiatry is an abuse, the way that it's actually set up. Because if you were to say to somebody, look, if you want help and you want to go and see a psychiatrist, these are the guidelines. He doesn't use medicine. He just will drug, or he'll give you electroshock. He doesn't know the cause of your problems. He doesn't have any medical test or anything that can substantiate any diagnosis of a mental disorder for you. That's psychiatrist admissions that's the fact.
Yeah.
So you're going to be given a label that we don't know what that actually means. We don't know what's causing it. We have absolutely no way of curing it. We can give you a drug that might alleviate the symptoms, and those drugs are going to come with potential serious physical and mental damage to you. And if you want to accept that, here's the informed consent, and you realize that we can't figure out what's causing your problem. We can't figure out how to cure you. We can put you in a hospital and you can be drugged till your insurance runs out, and you know, hopefully you can leave, or we'll just keep drugging you until the end of your life. And that's really your option.
Right, right, yeah.
And that's why I think it's dangerous, because people just have to realize when you're walking into a psychiatrist, it's not like walking into a medical doctor where you can demand some sort of physical test to prove that you
right.
have cancer.
Right.
There is no physical test. And unfortunately, I think people, I was doing a TV interview once, and there was a lady who was about to do an interview on a different issue. And she didn't believe when I said, well, there is no such thing as a chemical imbalance in the brain causing depression, and antidepressants can't, you know, correct a chemical imbalance. They're more likely to produce chemical dysfunction. And she said, no, I have a chemical imbalance. I have depression. It's caused by a chemical imbalance. And I said, well, what test did the medical doctor, what did the psychiatrist do? She said, none. And I'm like, well, you need to be better informed. You can't just accept this information. And it's awful, because the person is really wants help, but they're not getting help, they're getting betrayal.
Right.
They're being told that here's a diagnosis, and no one questions what could be happening. They don't question, is there any science to this diagnosis? And it's so marketed, in particularly in America, because you have direct-to-consumer marketing and drug advertising on television, and then you have drug companies who have been sued for marketing for conditions that aren't even approved by the Food and Drug Administration for that drug to be used on, and now those drug companies are trying to get the FDA to waiver any change the rules so that they can market to whatever condition they want. whether it's been the drug's been approved for that or not. So, you know, you've got a risky situation for people who are going into any psychiatrist, state or private psychiatric hospital, and my message is know your rights and know that you have the right to say no and know that you have the right to get all information about the diagnosis, how it's substantiated, to get full physical tests to first rule out that there's not a medical condition and then to have tests to prove the diagnosis of a mental dysfunction that they claim you have, and what are the alternatives that are available to you, and don't just accept that it's a drug that you need to take as the first option, but really do due diligence and get the facts and make a decision based on information and informed consent, which is your right.
Right. And can people go to like CCHR to learn more about what you just spoke about to the website?
Yeah, our actual website is www.cchrint.org, so because we're CCHR International. So
it's
cchrint.org. And there is a psychiatric drug adverse adverse effects database on that. You can actually search for any psychiatric drug that you might have been prescribed or that somebody wants to prescribe to you. You can look at what the adverse effects. We did a complete evaluation of all the adverse effects presented to the Food and Drug Administration. They're all calculated on that website, and we list studies, and it's there to give you the information that you may not get through seeing a psychiatrist or even a psychologist these days who can prescribe drugs in some states. So that's, right. I think that's one thing. And on that website, there's also an abuse case form so that if you want to report an abuse or you need help because of the abuse, you can go on that website and do that. You can also contact us direct, which is our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-869-2247. And, you know, there's a wealth of information and, you know, we, as I said, there's whistleblowers that have contacted us. We're very willing to talk to them and put them in contact with attorneys that are interested in investigating not just UHS but other psychiatric hospital chains as well.
Okay. So very good information. Yeah, you have a lot of really good information. I've been to both sites there. And again, at cchrint.org. I wanted to mention too, you know, psychiatry, I wonder what they actually are teaching them in these universities to be psychiatrists, because I heard a medical doctor, I won't say his name, but he says he was a brain expert. He says psychiatrists do not know anything about the brain, and that is the problem. So I'm wondering, well, what are they taught in school? And I guess it's just to give medicine, you know, and maybe to talk to people. But I think it's just a travesty what happens a lot of times because people are not getting the help they need. They're not getting solutions. And I just, you know, and I firmly believe every problem has a solution, but you got to go to the right source and the right place to get the solution.
Absolutely.
Now, I wanted to ask also, you all have gotten the attention of Congress. What is Congress doing about this situation with Universal Health Services now? Have they started an investigation?
Well, it's been under investigation by the Department of Justice and Health and Human Services and the Office of the Inspector General of Health and Human Services for quite some time. It's the delay that is the problem in why there hasn't been a resolution for this. And Senator Grassley recently wrote in response to the BuzzFeed News expose, he wrote to HHS and said, you have until December 23 to explain what actions are you doing in relation to UHS. And Senator Warren was also demanding that the Department of Justice bring their investigations to resolution as well. And I think that's the important thing. Hopefully the Department of Justice and HHS will heed to the pressure from Congress, which is there representing the people, because right now the people are still getting abused and defrauded in these facilities. So action should be happening fast for their protection.
So do you think by Senator Warren and all writing that, you think this will actually speed things up? I mean, hopefully so.
Well, I hope that, that's the case. And certainly we are remaining diligent about informing people. We're like a bull terrier. You know, the skeleton's half out of the cupboard. Well, we're not going to stop until the whole skeleton's out of the cupboard.
Right.
Because you're talking about people's lives.
Right.
And, you know, I've been asked, like, how do you keep doing this for the amount of time that you have? And it's almost like if you see a murder and you've seen the murderer's face, you know who it is. You can't walk away from that until that person is brought to justice. Because
right.
I don't know how you could live with yourself and not have a conscience about not doing everything you possibly can to prevent that from happening again. And that's the way that CCHR feels about the people who report abuses to us and whistleblowers. They come to us because they haven't had a voice.
Right.
They come to us because no one else has listened. And we will act on their behalf. So I think there needs to be more pressure. I think there should be a congressional investigation into the entire for-profit psychiatric facilities, the chains of hospitals. As I said, it's not just UHS. It is scandalous where you see psychiatric hospital chains that have been investigated for fraud. They've been sued. They've paid out millions of dollars in settlements, and they just set up shop
right.
with another psychiatric hospital chain, and nobody takes any action on that.
Right.
And so that's one of the next things that we're going to be doing is really isolating how this is a money industry. And psychiatrists that are in these facilities, there's hundreds and hundreds of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have researched every one of them.
Wow.
And there is something that needs to be looked into there. The amount of drugs that they prescribe, where they're like how qualified, I mean, not qualified, but for example, we've had one psychiatrist that was working in one of the facilities who had twice been reprimanded and had license suspensions or some sort of action by medical boards because he was a substance abuser. He's abusing drugs, and yet he's hired to treat substance abuse in the psychiatric facility.
Wow.
These are all things I think that if there was a thorough investigation to this, there needs to be more accountability.
Right.
The psychiatrists that are prescribing, you know, they're not just the innocent party. They're not under pressure from the big corporation. They're willing participants.
They are. Yeah.
And that's who we're interested in, because you're the one that's giving the injection, that's putting the pill in that person's mouth. You're the one that says, can they stay or not stay? You're the one that authorizes a restraint that can kill you. And we want them brought to account as well. And so one of the things we want to see statewide and federally is that there should be more accountability of how many patients are they actually admitting, how many patients go in there voluntarily and end up being involuntary, how long are they kept, what insurance is billed, how much is billed the insurance, both taxpayers and private insurers as well. There has to be a complete overview, and the problem is that no one looks at the statistics because they're not kept.
Right. That's what I was thinking, because they're really not keeping very many statistics on things or records. Obviously, they've got records but haven't compiled them into statistics to know.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, and it sounds like it would be reasonable to assume that they don't want the statistics known, because then, you know, it'll show their hand, you know, as to what they're doing.
So don't get me started, Beverly, because we've also been working on the Food and Drug Administration that's trying to lower the risk category of electroshock treatment, which is given in UHS psychiatric hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And they are claiming it's safe and effective, and that 100,000 Americans are given electroshock every year. The million figure you gave is internationally, but the 100,000 Americans are given shock treatment every year. That statistic is 20 years old.
Wow.
So we asked them, and we could not get, no one knew how many people how many children are being given electroshock. And we've now sent letters to every psychiatric hospital in the country asking for that information, not that they want to hand it over. We've asked every state government for these statistics as well. They don't keep them, or if they do keep them, they want you to pay exorbitant Freedom of Information Act requests and money in order to get statistics that our government and anyone over health should have that information. And it's not just electroshock, it's any treatment or use of restraints that is going off in the mental health facilities, and it can start with UHS and we can work on from there.
Right. Well, you know, when you don't have enough stats or hardly any stats on what a company or organization is doing, then there's no real accountability, because you don't really know what you're doing. And then when there's no accountability, that is just ripe for fraud. And so, it's just like it's a no-brainer. It's like, well, of course, you know, you need to have stats as to what you're doing. And it looks like there should be some type of government regulation that would require them to come up with this information. And obviously there's not. And that's would be one area, I guess, would be a problem, or some type of organization that can monitor these, because you just have an unmonitored company and institution, and all that's just, oh man, just ripe for fraud. So do you?
Well,
think-
exactly, and somebody wrote model legislation for us that could be used by state governments to do exactly what you're just saying.
Okay.
Because it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't really cost the government anything. It's incumbent upon the psychiatric facility that is receiving taxpayers' money through Medicare and Medicaid to provide that information and be accountable for those statistics to the government and the people.
Right. And, you know, and it looks like Medicare and Medicaid, that part of the government would really be backing you guys also, because it's costing them a lot of money, unless there's some kind of a connection under the current somewhere that's not being exposed, which doesn't make you wonder. I'm not saying there is there or there's not, but it does make you wonder in this case. Do you think justice will be served finally?
Yes, I think, because truth wins out in the end. You know, I've worked on situations where I was told you will never get this exposed, nothing will be done. As I said, in Australia we had this, you know, lethal treatment banned. It's a criminal offence to even administer it. We worked on federal legislation. We were told we weren't going to get that. We were going to get fought by the psychiatric pharmaceutical industry at every level of government. And that now is law, that you can't force a child onto a psychiatric drug as a requisite for their education. Informed consent for electroshock, that was our campaign as well. And I think that if you have the intention, the heart, and the willingness to keep fighting for patients' rights and human rights, then in the end it will win out. Because I think people, you know, there are government officials that want to see the right thing, and it's just a matter of finding which ones who will actually act on behalf of the people that they represent and serve.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. And I really applaud you and CCHR and CCHR International for the work that you do and that you've done for years. What do you have planned for the future as far as what's the next stages of the fight against this injustice in the psychiatric hospitals?
Yeah, as I said, we have three other major chains of psychiatric hospitals that we have under investigation. I don't know if we want to go into that, but Acadia Healthcare, Tenet Healthcare, Hospital Corporation of America. You know, there's various chains that have got behavioral health sectors, and they're not all psychiatric. They have medical care as well, which is not an area that we're investigating. We're only looking at the psychiatric and behavioral health care area. So we really encourage people to go onto cchrint.org and fill out an abuse case form, or contact us on our 1-800 number so that they can report any abuse, particularly if you're whistleblowers. And whistleblowers are really quite key. If you look at where the government has acted, they've made incredible inroads in exposing healthcare fraud through whistleblowers. So we're going to be looking into that area. We're certainly interested in getting legislation that brings psychiatry and these facilities to account, to show results, to show that the money that's being invested in them needs to be turned into well and happy individuals that aren't being forced into a psychiatric hospital and held there against their will and kept on drugs for the rest of their life.
Right.
You know, you don't send somebody in for a cold or an appendectomy and expect them to be on painkillers for the rest of their life.
Right, right.
So we want the same thing. We want to see that there are results, and we want to see science behind these diagnoses, and no legislation should be used to deprive somebody of their liberty or force any treatment, so-called treatment, onto them based on a subjective science that to date has shown that it's unworkable and doesn't cure anybody.
Right. And that's very reasonable. That's not too much to ask. You know, that is something that is very fair and reasonable and that everybody really wants. And again, I just applaud you and CCHR for all the work that you're doing and that you've done in the past and that you'll continue to do. And again, that website is www.cchrint.org. And is there anything else you would like to say before we end?
Well, I appreciate that you have shows like this because I think in amongst the multi-billion dollars that are spent on marketing, that you can't control your life, that you have a disorder that you can't get better from, or that you need a psychiatric and mind-altering drug or electroshock or some other brain intervention, it really does need people in the media that can be a voice for the public and let them know that there are organisations like CCHR that are there to listen to them, that are there to and willing to work with them. And again, if anyone has any information, to contact us, and we'd be happy to assist.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Jan, for your time and for your hard work, and wish you the best, and we'll continue to keep an eye on this situation. And thank you for listening. I'm Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio on the America Out Loud Network.